This is Jean McMillan interviewing Marion Romeo at her home, 28 Lakeview Avenue, on October 3rd, 2011. What is your full name?
Marion K. Smith Romeo.
When and where were you born?
I was born Sharon Hospital, 12737.
And your parents' full name?
Evelyn K. Micklejohn Smith and Harold M. Smith.
Do you have siblings?
Yes, I have a brother, Clayton, who is 13 months older and lives on the same street as I do.
Would you tell me about your education?
I went to Salisbury Central School, which is right across the street from where I lived. And then I went to Housatonic Valley Regional High School. And then I went to the University of Connecticut and did my hospital affiliation at Yale New Haven Hospital.
What did your father do?
My father was a teacher at Regional High School. He was one of the first teachers when the high school was built, and he taught general business and bookkeeping. And I happened to be there at the same time as he was.
When the regional started, how many teachers, do you remember? How many teachers were there?
No, I remember that they wanted to get the cream of the crop because this was a brand new school system with the multiple towns, and they wanted to get all the top teachers so it would be sure to be a go. And we had Dr. Stoddard, of course, who was a great leader, and most of the teachers had higher degrees than the bachelor degrees. They're all masters and higher.
Thank you. Now, I'd like you to tell me a little bit about growing up in Lakeville, and could we start with what the street looked like, going up one side and coming down the other? And tell me where you're going to start.
Okay, I think I'll start all the way to Salisbury Farms, which is where the National Iron Bank is. And that was a restaurant for people to go and get hot dogs, hamburgers, sodas. And my father was the bookkeeper for Salisbury Farms, and John ran it. And in the back of the restaurant, Howard Bartram, which is John Bartram's father, made the ice cream. So it didn't take us long to figure out where the ice cream came from. And so we used to go around to the back and talk with Mr. Bartram, and he would occasionally give us some ice cream as it came out of the machine. And then going up the road towards the school, there were the miners' cottages. There were small little homes where the motel is now. And next to that was Mrs. Perkins' rooming house and summer tourist place. And she would take in a lot of the people from New York City for the summer. And I remember there was a family, a boy named Frankie Blauvelt, whose parents came every year to the Perkins house. And we used to sit on our front porch waiting for Frankie to come out of the Perkins home so we could play with him. And then I'll keep going up to Salisbury Central School. Was the lower building was the only building there. And in order to play our games, we would walk up to the upper field, which is now the school, upper school. And on the left, halfway up, was Ed Stanton's called it the poor house. And this is where people that didn't have a home stayed. And to the side of the home, they had a peacock, peacock's group that were fenced in. And I remember the boys going up the hill would try to grab the feathers of the peacocks, and that was a big catch if they could get it. And let's see, then.
Now you're on Lincoln City
Road. On Lincoln City. Yeah. And then now I'll go down to Lakeview Avenue, the corner of Lakeview Avenue. The big house on the left was the Cane Sisters, C-A-N-E Sisters. And they were maiden ladies, and they owned the field from their home all the way down to where Rory O'Connor lives. It was all field, and then gradually was sold off. And the house that I'm living in, it's the fifth house on Lakeview Avenue. And as a youngster, I remember it being built and being shooed off by the workmen for walking along on the planks. And then later on, the Ed Pavola Jr. had bought the house. And I babysat for his children there, never thinking that I would later on be living. Never in my life would I ever think I'd be living there. And when I, during World War II, I remember that on the back of our lawn was the watchtower, the watching for planes, because it was the highest area. And they had just a very simple little tower, but the men would take shifts climbing the towers and watching. Now, going down the street, let's see, came to the Pavola's variety store, which...
Now you've lost me.
Okay, I'm...
Where are you specifically?
I'm going across from the post office. I'm coming out of, I'm out of Lakeview Avenue.
All right, you're now at the post office?
I'm across the
across
post
the post office.
And that is Pavola's.
So you're in downtown Lakeville now?
Yeah, because there's nothing after, because of zoning. I guess, I think we still have zoning. There was nothing other than...
Then Newkirk's Funeral Home, the brick building on the corner of 44
yeah.
and was not there.
Yeah, Newkirk's was there.
Was it a private residence?
No, it was a funeral home.
It was a funeral home.
Yeah, okay. No.
All right, so now we're across from the post office in Lakeville.
Yeah, so I think I'll stay on that side first and then.
Okay.
That was Pavola's variety store. They had candy and magazines and personal items, and the Hotchkiss boys, that would be their place to come when they had time off. And there was Ed Pavola Sr. and his wife, and then his son worked there too. And then, okay, we'll stay on that side. And then there was the Danny Lafrito's shoe repair shop.
So you're going from the post office as if you were going toward the Catholic Church.
I'm across from the post office.
Yeah, but you're going to go around the corner as if you were going up to St. Mary's.
Danny Lafrito was still...
He was still on the main street,
yeah.
But that's
yeah,
the direction
yeah.
you're going.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. And Danny used to love to talk, and he'd be right in a place where everybody would gather, and he would talk and work on the shoes and only charge
a dollar or $2.
I mean, it was really... very little. And then you would come to the jewelry store.
Saul's Lake?
Yes, that was, let's see.
Ron Barry.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, Barry's jewelry store. And Then would be Dufour's Garage. It was a repair shop, auto repair shop. And then you came to the large white building on the left, just before you would go down to the ball field. And on the first floor was a telegraph office. And then on the other side was Paul Argo's barbershop. And then underneath was Bessie's Luncheon. And she would have homemade soups and sandwiches, and a lot of the working fellows went in there for their lunch. And it was always very good homemade food. And then there was a ball field, and that hasn't changed much at all. And then Barnett's Variety Store, where you could get a little bit of everything. That's when you could go get a needle and thread and shoes and
anything you needed.
Anything you needed. Anything. And then there was a liquor store after Barnett's.
Do you know who owned that?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Well, you weren't in there very often, were you?
Never even held my breath going by, for heaven's sakes. And then there's Finkel's gas station, and that was basically just a gas station. And there's a trestle, and the trucks used to get stuck on the overpass because they were too high, and they would come roaring through and be stuck, and then they'd let the air out of the tires so that they could bring the truck down. Hopefully that would do the trick. And let's see. Now I think I'll go all the way up to the manor. The manor, we're crossing the street now.
And you're across from approximately...
Okay.
Dufour's Garage-ish?
Dufour's Garage. Dufour's Garage keeps going down to the... all the way through the liquor store and AMP and all
Is it on the curve?
No.
It's below the curve, going toward...
Yeah. The manor is where the Masonic Hall is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just coming down from the Catholic Church.
Now, are you coming toward Lakeville? Are you starting at Lakeville Manor and coming toward Lakeville?
Starting the manor and coming towards the Jigger Shop.
Well, I don't know where the Jigger Shop is, so I'm trying to keep it in sync.
All right. The firehouse. Where the firehouse is.
All right.
Across the street to Ethan Allen, you go up the hill towards the Catholic Church.
Okay. And that's where the lake fits.
Yeah, the manor is up there.
Are you going to start with Montgomery Lodge, Little Scholar School Building, and then work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there is the Montgomery Lodge. And then there was the manor. Well, yeah, the manor.
Yeah.
And I remember going in to the manor later as a visiting nurse and seeing the chapel that's still there. It's a little kitchenette where the chapel is. And that was a private Catholic.
It was a private Catholic school.
School. I didn't know much about it, except that in the summertime the girls would march down to the lake and swim in a special area, and the whistle would blow and they'd march out. That's all I know about the manor.
Good discipline.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, very. All right. Now I will start on Ethan Allen Street. That was called the Jigger Shop. Why it was called?
It was on the corner.
That's where the black dog is, or the black...
Okay, black rabbit.
The black rabbit, yeah. That was right there. And that was a wonderful place. It had the old soda chairs and the tables and place you could get sundaes and sodas and buy your newspapers and...
Was that run by the Hams?
Yes.
And that would be Fran Lemoyne's mother and father.
Mr. Yeah. her parents, Miss, and when she was a teacher, started teaching at Salisbury Central, she was Miss Ham, and she was taught for first grade. And after church, we used to go there every Sunday and get some hand-packed pint of ice cream.
Ooh.
And my children don't believe when I say that's the only time we had ice cream was we on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We went and had our ice cream, and that was it.
But it was a special treat.
It's just, oh, yeah, that was part of the go to church and then come home, get your ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Goderus Meat Market. Two brothers, Ernie and I don't know what, but and Ernie Goddess was a good friend of mine. He was, I don't know how, he must have been, we were maybe 9 or 10, he must have been, I don't know, 40 or 50 or, but he, this is going back a little bit, but he lived on Petty Street and he had a little shop that he fooled around with. He had a pot-bellied stove. It's where Polly Rohde lives now. And as children, we used to go down there and talk to him. He had a wood stove going, and he used to tell us the most fantastic stories. We'd crack nuts, and occasionally he'd give us a ride in his rumble seat. He had an old car, and we'd get in the back of the room, and he'd drive us around the ball field in the rumble seat. Those are the days when our parents just let us go, and where we were talking with Ernie, you know, and but that's Ernie Goddard, that was his meat market. And then there was, we're going up, and there's Stewart Theater.
And that's right across from the railroad station.
Yep, right across from the railroad
station. And that burned.
And that burned in the 50s. And that was when I decided, well, I was never coming back to Lakeville. Just, that was it. Theater burned down and there's nothing there. So little did I know. Then we're headed toward the lake and there's a swinging bridge. And we used to have more fun on that because we get children that weren't used to it and we'd start swaying it and they were terrified.
Nasty little monsters, weren't you?
Yes, and then there began to be boards missing on it, so we'd have to hop over the boards to get across two or three boards. You could look down and so we used to have, and that was the connection to the Gateway Inn where the summer tourists would come from their inn cross. And when it was in good condition. And then
the Gateway Inn was where the Founders Insurance building is, in that area.
Yeah, in that area.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to relate it to what's now.
It's across the street.
Because if somebody listens to this 10 years from now, they're not going to know any more than I know where some of these things were.
That was, and it was very, to me, it seemed like they were very elegant people that lived there. Then we went to the Town Grove, which we called Timmins, because Mr. Timmins ran it. I think basically at that time, it was a place for the fishermen to go fishing because there was no sand on the beach. There were no lifeguards. There were a row of small changing booths that looked like outhouses, and so you just could change your clothes. There was a raft out out in the lake, but no lifeguards. And we would go down for the day and play in the water, and no one ever seemed to be very concerned about us at that point. And let's see, so there was something else I was thinking about when I thought about, you had mentioned the Ransfords, and the Ransfords, Mr. Ransford was a big man, rotund, jolly, jolly man, and he had the little white house, the little white building next to the firehouse. That was where he did his, he was a builder. And on frequent occasions, we would go walk around the lake from the shore, jumping over docks. And I remember one afternoon, we got near the Ransfords and we had a lightning storm. Mrs. Ransford, they had a house on the lake, and she called us all in and said, come on in, have a cup of tea or coffee or chocolate or whatever. And she just, they had no children, but she just loved children. And on one of my outings, I seem to be at this point going drawn to a lot of the older people. I don't know how I was in her house, Mrs. Ransford's house on Bostwick Street. She was the first house. It was hers, and it was Sejal's house, and I don't know where. And I was in her house, and she had two dogs that were her children. And she told me that she had slept on the kitchen floor that night, and she was rather sore. And I said, well, why did you sleep on the kitchen floor? She said, oh, my dog was so sick, he couldn't climb the stairs. So I lay on the floor with him. And I thought, you are some, I just thought she was the greatest, you know, to do that. Because I was always bringing stray animals home. And then I had to find a place for them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's see, there was something else I was trying to think.
All right, where are you going to take me now?
We're at the post office, which has been there. That was once, long ago, school was there.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But, and then there was Rudman's Market, where the Chinese restaurant is.
And that was the apothecary shop, and now it's the China Inn.
Yeah. And then there was the First National store. And Mr. Livesey was a friend of ours, and he worked in the meat department. So he always took good care of us during the World War II. I remember going, my mother would send me down with coupons to get butter, eggs, meat, and the butter was the margarine with the little buttons. My brother and I used to fight over who was going to push the button and make the margarine yellow. And so that, and we walked. My mother didn't drive, so we walked. I walked everywhere. And recreation for us was going down, we always just say it, going down to the sewer bed. And we'd go down and play in the brook. And we'd build dams, and we'd look for polywogs.
And what brook was this? The Burton Brook?
Burton Brook, yeah. Down, right down by the, well, we followed the railroad tracks. The railroad tracks would go, the community service, all the way down to the sewer bed and on towards Salisbury. But that was our playground, and playing in the water. And my mother would say, now, Marion, don't get your feet wet. And I'd come home.
Wet to the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so. We children don't change much, do we?
No. And...
what was after the First National going up?
Then there was the inn.
Then there was the Gateway Inn.
It was where the apartment house is now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the name of that. It wasn't the Gateway, but it was
an apartment house?
It was an apartment house, yeah.
And then the Farnham Tavern?
Yeah.
And then the Holly House.
Then the Holly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you remember Farnham Tavern being a...
No.
It was just what it is now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is apartments.
Yeah.
And the Holly Williams house would have been vacant at that time.
Yes. I don't have any memory of that.
Well, Miss Williams died in 1934.
Oh.
And it went to Lucy Drummond, so it would have been vacant unless somebody was living in it to be a caretaker. Okay.
Okay. So I think that is...
Is there anything else that we've not covered that you'd like to?
Well, I remember the Holly Block. My parents first lived there when they came to town. And that was a place where a lot of young couples stayed. And the rent was reasonable. And they would move into the town and stay there until they could find a place to live.
I can remember when I came first to town, and I stopped at the post office because there was an ad for the Holly Block, and I asked the gentleman at the mail desk, you know, about the Holly Block, and he says, what are you going to be doing? And I said, I'm going to be a school teacher at Salisbury Central. He says, you don't want to stay at the Holly Block. So I wound up at what used to be Mrs. Perkins Boarding House. I wound up at Jimmy Vail's house across the street from where you used to live.
Okay.
That's how I wound up there.
Okay.
All right.
So, yeah, that seems to be it. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank